Arcadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Today is Tuesday, January 6, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, a whole half hour of headlines and commentary in less than 10 minutes. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
An Israeli missile strike on a United Nations school has killed at least 41 civilians, most of them children.
Here in Oregon, the heat is on for the obsolete coal-fired power plant at Boardman.
And a federal judge in California reinstates Al-Haramain's lawsuit challenging the Bush administration's wiretapping game.
Portland area weather, rain most of the day with highs in the low 50s, and then tonight more rain with lows in the 40s.
And first we go to regional news. This evening, the Environmental Quality Commission, which is the governor-appointed board that oversees the DEQ, is holding a special meeting on air pollution from PGE Boardman's coal-fired power plant. Talk about a dinosaur feeding on dinosaurs. Aubrey Baldwin of the Pacific Environmental Law Center joins us by phone this morning to talk about why it's important for all of us to speak out. Good morning, Aubrey. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Chris and Leo. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what this meeting is about and what we hope to accomplish.
This meeting is about Boardman, which, as you noted, is a dinosaur coal-fired power plant. It's the single largest source of harmful air pollution and the greenhouse gas carbon dioxide in the whole state of Oregon. It's a power plant that burns around 500 rail cars of coal each week. And it was built in the late 1970s, so Boardman lacks the pollution control equipment that's standard now on modern power plants. And over the years, PGE has made improvements to their plant, and DEQ had the opportunity to make them install pollution controls, but they never did. Now, today, DEQ is proposing that PGE should spend hundreds of millions of dollars to retrofit this plant to control nitrates and sulfates and particulate matter pollution. But DEQ's plan is not stringent enough to protect Oregon's parks and wilderness areas, and it does absolutely nothing to address the global warming pollution from the plant. So tonight people have an opportunity to come out and let the EQC and DEQ know that a wiser investment would be to use that money to shut down the Boardman coal-fired plant and replace it with renewable energy and energy efficiency programs. And PGE really has the chance here to be an economic and environmental leader, and we're hoping that folks will come out tonight to encourage them to do that.
Yes, there's no point in keeping this thing running. It's obsolete, and in fact, it's even lethal. So after this meeting, is this going to be a final meeting? Will there be any other public fora?
There are two other meetings planned for January in Oregon. On January 12th in Hermiston, which is out near the Boardman plant, and on January 13th in the Dalles. There will also be the opportunity to submit written comments up until January 30th to the DEQ.
And beyond the meetings, there will inevitably be lawsuits. What are the prospects for actually finally shutting Boardman down once and for all?
Well, we're hoping that the prospects are good. It's the type of climate where everyone knows that carbon is going to be regulated. It's going to be regulated in the near future, and plants like Boardman are on their way out. So PGE would do well to stay ahead of that ball and come up with a solution for Oregon now rather than later.
Thank you so much. Our guest this morning has been Aubrey Baldwin of the Pacific Environmental Law Center. That meeting is tonight at 6 p.m. at the DEQ headquarters. That's 811 Southwest 6th Avenue on the 10th floor, room EQCA in downtown Portland. Thanks very much for being with us this morning, Aubrey.
Thank you.
Well, maybe they can get a federal grant. A Pacific Northwest mechanical construction engineering firm, the McKinstry Company, has received a federal grant worth up to $5 billion. It was one of 16 companies to receive a U.S. Department of Energy contract to build energy-efficient renewable energy and water conservation projects at federally owned buildings and facilities.
In Washington, a Seattle timber company, Plum Creek Timber, said yesterday that it no longer wants to pursue changes in long-standing agreements that govern its use of U.S. Forest Service roads near company lands. The changes have been criticized by Montana's junior senator and by Barack Obama when he was running for president.
Democrat Ben Westland took the oath of office as state treasurer yesterday. He inherited a college savings plan that has suffered deep losses from investments that were billed as conservative. Legislative leaders have promised a hearing on the issue within the first few weeks of the upcoming session. The idea is to come up with a safer alternative that would allow Oregonians to invest in prepaid tuition. Incoming Secretary of State Kate Brown and Attorney General John Kroger also took their oaths yesterday.
Well, we've never needed better education more than we do now. A federal judge in California yesterday reinstated an Islamic charities lawsuit challenging a Bush administration surveillance program. U.S. District Judge Vaughn Walker said there is enough primary evidence showing that the Al-Haramain charity may have been the target of government-tapped telephone calls that were done without court approval under the administration's so-called terrorist surveillance program. When they say primary evidence, they're talking about actual transcripts of the wiretaps.
An Ashland art gallery opened an exhibit with a fundraiser that featured a shoe throw at an image of President George Bush. City Councilor Eric Navikas slathered a layer of red paint on the soles of a variety of footwear before people fired them at the 8-foot image of Bush. Goddard says the exhibit is a statement of solidarity with Muntadhar al-Zaidi, the Iraqi journalist who threw two shoes at Bush last month.
And now for our daily stolen robot story. Police are looking for a robot that was stolen from a Portland State University professor. The Washington County Sheriff's Office says physics professor Eric Sanchez reported the theft yesterday. The 90-pound robot had been in a car parked overnight in Aloha. Maybe they were just using it to try to be able to use the carpool lanes. But, in fact, Liam has a story on robot recovered.
Yeah. Leon Panetta, former aide to President Bill Clinton, will be named CIA director. Panetta was a surprise pick for the post with no experience in the intelligence world.
Didn't see that one coming. I guess that's why it's the CIA, right? Minnesota's U.S. Senate recount is officially over. And Democrat Al Franken received 225 more votes than Republican Norm Coleman. Franken declared victory and Coleman declared results fatally flawed. Coleman's campaign vowed to put the Senate election on trial. In other words, the conclusion of the long, drawn-out recount also is the start of a long, drawn-out election lawsuit. The Coleman-fueled lawsuit means that no one can declare complete victory for some time.
And now to international news. The civilian death toll in Gaza increased dramatically today to 548 people, with reports of more than 40 Palestinians killed after missiles exploded outside a UN school where hundreds of people were sheltering from the continuing Israeli offensive. Two Israeli tank shells struck the school in Jabalia refugee camp, spraying shrapnel on people inside and outside the building. 41 bodies have been retrieved so far.
Essentially what that means, I guess, Liam, is that there is no safe haven anywhere in the Gaza Strip, no shelter that anyone can seek to avoid the Israeli assault. Mads Gilbert is a Norwegian doctor. He's working in Gaza, and he filed a report with Sky News yesterday. He believes, this Mads Gilbert doctor, that Israel is deliberately attacking the Palestinian population, not just targeting Hamas, as Israeli authorities have said over and over and over again. Gilbert puts it this way. This is a quote. They are bombing 1.5 million people in a cage. He adds, just a little bit more than an hour ago, the Israelis bombed the central food market in Gaza City, and we had a mass influx of about 50 injured and between 10 and 15 killed. Finally, this quote, at the same time, they bombed an apartment house with children playing on the roof, and we had a lot of children there also. This, he means by that, which he means, of course, they were brought into the hospital. This is really like something from Dante's Inferno. It's like hell here now. And it's been bombing, they've been bombing all night. Up until now, close to 500 people have been killed, and the number of casualties is getting to 2,500, which are 50% of which are women and children.
And the Geneva-based Press Emblem campaign says Israel deliberately targeted Hamas-run media installations in its bombing campaign on Gaza, and they're practicing media censorship. The installations in question include Al-Aqsa Television, Al-Rasala Newspaper, and Sat Al-Aqsa Radio. The press group, which fights for better protection of journalists in conflict zones, also condemned the recent deaths of two journalists as a result of the Israeli attacks.
We're going to try and have an interview from someone in Gaza today, but Israel has been systematically shutting down communications in and out of the Gaza Strip as well. A high-ranking Hamas official confirmed yesterday that his movement had accepted an Egyptian invitation for ceasefire talks in Cairo. Osama Hamdan, member of Hamas's political bureau, said in Damascus that Hamas will send a delegation to Cairo soon for talks in a bid to reach a ceasefire. Hamdan also said that Israel has failed to stop the Palestinian resistance in the Gaza Strip, adding that the resistance is firing homemade shells at Israel in a scheduled manner. And now we're going to try and reach either Ariel, who is a former associate, I believe, of Jenka Soderberg, KABU's evening news director. And failing that, we're also going to try to reach Sameh Habib, who is actually in Gaza City. But as we said previously, it's increasingly difficult to reach anyone in Gaza. It turns out that telecommunication lines are impossible right now, so we aren't going to be able to bring that to you at this time. I'm going to read very briefly. There's a wonderful Palestinian poet, Mahmoud Darwish, the poet of the Intifada, who'd recently died. He has a poem called Under Siege. We'll read a couple of stanzas from that and then go out. Here on the slopes of hills, facing the dusk and the canon of time, close to the gardens of broken shadows, we do what prisoners do and what the jobless do. We cultivate hope. A country preparing for dawn, we grow less intelligent, for we closely watch the hour of victory. No night in our night lit up by the shelling, our enemies are watchful and light the light for us in the darkest of cellars.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Tuesday, January 6, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Our engineer this morning is Janet Anderson. The KABU AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio station at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next on KABU Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. Reports from Gaza, and an interview with journalist and filmmaker John Pilger about Israel-Palestine.
Thanks for listening, and have a good day.